Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters. Let me introduce you to your host, farm broadcaster Ken Root from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the weekend. It's been a long week for those who had to be outside in cold weather, or those of you who had kids at home from school and they were cooped up inside. These are the times that try men's souls and women's. But there's always a bit of levity from positive and optimistic people. I recall going to North Dakota one winter. I asked a lady how they stood the 30 below weather. She joyously told me, "It's great. You can take a cup of hot water and go outside and throw it in the air. It never comes down. It just turns to fog and floats away." I talked to a man who said they had a midwinter golf tournament on Devil's Lake, also in North Dakota. He said they put on heavy clothes, then they put Hawaiian clothes on over the top and wear leis and strange hats. Perhaps a bit of insanity will keep you sane. The best one this week was a school in Michigan, Swartz Creek, where two administrators took the song Hallelujah and turned it into an announcement that school would be closed. You may have seen it, as it was a viral video on Facebook and also played by TV stations, but here's the audio to appreciate their creativity and their voices.
Snow blows white on the sidewalks tonight, not a student to be seen. The hallways are isolated, but they're staying pretty clean. The wind is howling like it likely won't subside. Please just stay home watching Princess Bride. Can't let you in, don't come to school. Stay inside, this weather's cool. Bundle up, wear your hats and boots and coats. If you shouldn't go, stay at home, stay at home. Stay home, stay safe, stay warm. Stay at home, stay at home. Swartz Creek Dragons heed this storm. Clean your rooms and have indoor fun. We'll see you back real soon when this vortex is passed on through. It's funny how your absence makes everything so sad. And so your presence will make us very glad. It's time to see what we can stand. Test our limits, Michigan. Help your neighbors bring pets inside for this ride.
Stay at home, stay at home. Stay home, stay safe, stay warm. Stay at home, stay at home. Swartz Creek Dragons heed this storm. Play some games with your family. We'll see you back real soon when this vortex is passed on through.
This really cold weather appears to be behind us, but the number of winter storms lined up to the west doesn't make February look very good. We may have to keep singing. What do we have for you today? Well, this was a busy week for midwinter conventions. Dustin Hoffman covered the Iowa Power Farming Show in Des Moines, and Anna Hastert was forced to go to New Orleans to report on the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Anna talked with state and national leaders about the issues the cattle industry has identified as their top priorities. Believe it or not, fake meat is at the top of their list. They're also trying to give cattle trucks a way to drive all the way to their destination without having to stop for a rest period for the driver. You might see it as weighing the value of a load of cattle versus the value of the driver or the danger of a sleepy driver to others on the highway, but it's a whole lot more complex than that. When we come back, a check of the financial health of farmers in Iowa, as seen by their lenders. This is Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price, I know.
If you're a cattle producer who is obsessed with keeping your pastures clean, turn to Grazon Next HL Herbicide. It simplifies broadleaf weed control, so instead of thinking about weeds, you can think about the money you'll save growing more grass and buying less feed. Used early in the season, Grazon Next HL also provides residual activity that controls newly emerged weed seedlings, giving you season-long control. Start enhancing your land while you protect it. Visit leavetheweedstous.com to learn more about Grazon Next HL. Always read and follow label directions.
There's more to crop insurance than protecting a crop. At Farm Credit Services of America, we know crop insurance is about protecting livelihoods, legacies, and a way of life. Crop insurance can be complex, but our goal of protecting you is simple. Discover the difference at Farm Credit Services of America. Agriculture works here.
Contact your local FCS America crop insurance specialist at 1-800-884-FARM.
Are you confident in your crop insurance? If you make the same insurance selections year after year, you might be paying for more than you need or not fully covering your risk. That's why Farmers Business Network now offers crop insurance. We use data to help you make smarter coverage decisions. Get a free personal analysis with our local agents by calling 844-200-FARM or visit fbn.com/insurance for full program restrictions and details. Terms and conditions apply. FBN Insurance Services are offered by FBN Insurance LLC and available only where licensed. FBN membership not required.
Now, here again is Ag Weekend Matters host, Ken Root.
As we move into the new year, farmers and livestock producers face several challenges. Profitability is still there in cattle and hogs, maybe dairy if the new USDA program supports smaller farms. But the headwinds of politics and international trade are pretty strong, especially against the grain industry. This week at the Iowa Power Farming Show, Dustin Hoffman, our supervising editor for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, talked with several people from industry as well as farmers and livestock producers. Dustin, thanks for your time here on Weekend Ag Matters.
Well, thank you for having me, Ken.
How was the Power Farming Show this year?
You know, it was very good. You know, I was surprised at how well attended it was, not because of the fact that it was, you know, a show that didn't have anything or anything. It was a very good show. It's just that it was so bitter cold here. But, you know, it was warm inside the Hy-Vee Arena and the Convention Center and the Wells Fargo Arena, where they had everything spread out over 7 acres worth of stuff in those three buildings.
Well, you know, they always say the best attendance you get at a meeting when the weather is not fit to farm. Now, normally that's considered too wet, but at this time of year, I guess too cold would have been accurate.
You know, I honestly thought about when I was in there yesterday and watching everybody coming in, and as cold as they were, it made me think of the old saying in the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon, where that little miner guy, Yukon, says, "It's not fit for man nor beast out there."
Well, certainly it hasn't been, but inside, they can kind of have a fantasy, if you will, of thinking about what it's going to be next year. I think we ought to look at the economic challenges here. Certainly, that's got to be on your mind. And what did we carry over from 2018, Dustin?
Well, you know, we had a lot of things, Ken, that really affected the bottom line, and it was going to pose some challenges for ag lenders as well. And one of those things was the farm bill. You know, we had to wait for the farm bill to secure what crop insurance or ARC or PLC programs are available, and whether or not the old one was going to be extended. And we had to wait until, you know, the end of December, middle of December, before we got a farm bill. And that really put some strain on getting some things finalized. The weather straining crops. I mean, talking to farmers who came from Wisconsin or up in northeastern Iowa and came through that area, saying there are still beans and corn standing in some places and in some fields. Now, that's obviously going to be probably more the exception than the rule, but weather strained crops really affected, you know, the bottom line too on how good those crop qualities were. And we've talked about that in the past, and And obviously trade has put a lot of stress on the markets. We saw what happened to the bean market this whole last year, almost going in half of what it was earlier in the year, just because of trade disputes with China and even around the globe.
Well, I don't think you or I have found a farmer who said he'd like to replay the last part of 2018. We got that behind us. But a number of the issues you're talking about, aren't they still with us as we move into the new year?
You know, it's very much a plan of catch up and everything. I mean, you figure the government was shut down for 35 days, so there's a lot of numbers out there. They're waiting to get the final, you know, crop estimates from 2018, the final numbers. Also, you know, the commitment of traders reports, all these things that affect the market. And affected whether it goes up or down, I mean, are still waiting out there. Now they've got a plan to get everything redone here by, I believe, the 22nd of February. Everything should be caught up. But it's still been that waiting period. And also the trade issues. I mean, we're talking, China was here again this last week. And, it's just a matter of getting everything finalized. And that's having a lot of weight on the markets as well.
Well, farmers want to farm, and their lenders want them to continue farming and also pay back their money with interest. Did you talk to any lenders while you were there?
I got a chance to talk with a few people in the financial industry, you know, talking with Farm Credit Services and also talking with some marketing analysts at Stuart Peterson. But, yeah, talking with Farm Credit Services, you know, their whole message to farmers was to really evaluate what you have to work with on in your plan, in your financial plans. I mean, they obviously can't give one piece of advice that's going to benefit everybody, because everybody's financial needs are different and every farm is different. And it's a matter of sitting down with their people and looking at where can we tighten up some of the expenses. Maybe that's getting into a different fertilizer program or a different chemical program, or maybe it's changing spending habits in other areas to increase the cash flow. But again, they're really driving home that farmers need to be proactive, that they can weather this. And many farmers will be able to weather this. It's just a matter of being proactive and really looking at what your operation can handle this year.
You know, we kind of spoiled ourselves. We went through that period beginning about 2008 and then the big run-up from 12 to 15, and a number of people's cost of living went up. And it's awfully hard to dial that back. Yet, you know, right now, every penny for a farmer counts.
Yeah, that it really does. And, you know, and it's also a matter of talking with the marketing reps at Stuart Peterson. It's, you know, a lot of people are holding on to some carryover crop that, you know, maybe they're waiting just to see if the market can improve just a little bit. And, you know, as they said, we're already in February or coming up, we're in February now. And it's time is going to be running out on how much you're going to be able to squeeze out of that before the weather starts to affect the markets again in the Northern Hemisphere.
So let me ask you this to finish up. As a farmer walked out of that Power Farming show, maybe he didn't buy much, but I bet he learned a lot. What do you think is on his mind now?
You know, a lot of it's going to be, I would hope that they walked out with a sense of not only being impressed by the things they saw there and having some optimism about what is coming. I hope they did get an optimistic look, because there was some optimism despite some of this negative things that are happening with the markets and with the industry as a whole right now, that things are going to turn around. It may be, you know, tightening the belt one more notch again, or maybe just looking at, you know, making a few tweaks, but that there are people out there that are willing to help you and that you're not out there floundering by yourself. I hope that's really the message they came away with this year.
Dustin Hoffman, really glad you covered that show. We appreciate it. Take care and stay warm.
Thank you, Ken.
Next up is Anna Haster, who went to the NCBA convention. It was her first trip to that big meeting and her first to New Orleans. This is Weekend Ag Matters on KXEL. AM 1540.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Now, here again is Weekend Ag Matters host, Ken Root.
If you've ever been to a trade show, you've seen and heard the sights and sounds of companies in booths showing off their wares. This one at NCBA has the smell of leather. Hats, saddles, boots, and other items are on display. It's pretty tempting to buy something to take home. Our Anna Hastert is just back from the big cattle convention in New Orleans. A little play-by-play of the meeting and a talk with NCBA and Iowa cattlemen's officials about their plans for 2019. Anna, first of all, tell me about the sights and the sounds of the trade show itself at NCBA. I think this is the first time you've been there. What did you think of it?
Yeah, Ken, this is the first time that I've been to the Cattle Industry Convention and National Cattlemen's Beef Association trade show, and the sounds were just remarkable. There was expected to be about 10,000 people to be in attendance at this event, and man, I think they were spot on with that number. There were a lot of people, and a lot of good conversations had there at the trade show. Ken, I encourage people to stay tuned to their local Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network affiliate throughout the upcoming weeks, because I will have lots of good conversations stemming from that trade show coming on at the air in the next couple of weeks.
Did you buy a cowgirl hat or boots or an alpaca saddle?
I did not make any purchases while I was here. No big purchases for me yet. I felt a little out of the loop, though, because I was not wearing a cattle hat. So might have to look into purchasing one of those here in the near future.
I don't think you can leave the trade show without buying something. I think that's one of the rules, so be careful. I think you may have violated it.
Yeah, I might have done it wrong, but like I said, this is the first time I've been here, so I'm just kind of learning as I go here.
Tell me about talking with Allison Rivera, the lobbyist with the NCBA. What type of issues are top of mind for them right now?
Yeah, some of the issues that are top of mind right now are the hours of service rule and the electronic logging device mandate, which has been on the table for quite some time now. They were even talking about this piece of policy last year at their convention. So definitely wanting to see some progress made on that front.
So I think Iowa producers have been very much in this conversation and just as concerned as producers across the country about the electronic logging devices. We are grateful to our friends in Congress that we are sitting in an ELD delay for livestock haulers. We are basically the only group out there that's sitting in an ELD delay, and we are grateful. It's that animal welfare piece that really resonated with our members in Congress and the Iowa delegation. Obviously, we have some new friends in the Iowa delegation that we're really excited to get to know and to get them up to speed on this issue and how important it is to get those cattle and those hogs from Iowa where they need to go in a safe manner.
Another thing that they're talking about this year is cell-cultured meat, which is also sometimes referred to as fake meat, what competing with that in the future looks like, and just making sure that everybody's on the same page that, hey, you know, beef can compete with this cell-cultured meat that might be labeled as beef in the near future. I'm still trying to get some guidance from the FDA and the USDA in regards to labeling for that product, but NCBA thinks they have a really good chance of competing with that kind of a product.
Let's turn to Iowa now. What about what issues that the Iowa Cattlemen's Association has?
Yeah, I did talk to Jan Lee Rowlett, who is with the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, represents the producers in regards to policy.
Really important topics coming up. Fake meat will be one of those, and that certainly is one that we've heard a lot about from our producers and our membership. We have taken a really active role in that topic, and this past fall traveled to Washington, D.C. and took part in a public hearing and have continued to stay really vocal on that issue to make sure that we protect the integrity of the product that we raise and also do our best to maintain the consumer confidence in what they're purchasing at grocery stores and in restaurants, that when they think they're buying beef, they're actually getting beef.
Really talking about that hours of service rule and electronic logging device mandate, you know, livestock producers are the only one who have been temporarily exempted from this electronic logging device mandate, and that's huge. You know, when I was talking to Allison later on in the day, she talked about how the differences in hauling livestock versus hauling maybe a load of toilet paper, you know, and the differences and how important it is to make sure that these livestock haulers can be on the road for the amount of time necessary to make sure that their load gets to their the proper destination, and that these livestock are staying safe on the roads, you know, animal safety, animal comfort, and overall health of these animals is really top of mind for these producers. So they want to make sure that they're getting to their destinations on time, in a timely manner, in the end are really safe. You know, they don't want to have to stop and unload them, because then that causes problems with commingling cattle, and would also require some infrastructure, and they don't want that. That's kind of a last result type of deal for Iowa cattle producers, so they can make sure that they're getting their cattle to the proper destination.
So you compare livestock being hauled to a load of toilet paper. That's a Charmin analogy. Okay, what else have you learned about New Orleans while you've been there?
Well, it was a lot warmer in New Orleans this week compared to Iowa. I think when my Uber picked me up on Thursday morning, that it was negative 16 degrees. When I arrived in New Orleans later that day, it was 42 degrees. So it was a little bit breezy, so I still thought it was a little bit cold here, but the past couple of days have been breezy and beautiful. I didn't venture down to Bourbon Street, so I behaved while I was here, but New Orleans has been great, and the amount of people that have attended this show has been phenomenal, and like I said earlier, just those great conversations that I had with different companies at the trade show really excites me for the future of the U.S. cattle industry. I think there are a lot of great opportunities out there for producers, and I'm really excited to see where this industry grows. I just think there is great amounts for growth in the upcoming years.
Well, I'm disappointed, too, that you didn't get to go to Bourbon Street. You didn't buy a hat. You didn't buy any boots. Didn't buy a saddle. But I guess the airline won't charge you as much to get home.
That's right, Ken. You live and you learn.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Ken.
I also talked with Randy Block from Cattle Facts. He has optimistic views of the situation in 2019 for cattle producers and historical reminder of how much the industry has improved over the last 30 years.
For all of us that went through and lived through the 80s and the lion's share of the 90s, it was a very difficult time. Our inventory numbers had to be slashed. We didn't have the demand. Demand was cut in half through that time period. We weren't listening to what the consumers wanted. The industry put together a long-range plan. They figured it out, got a direction. People bought in. Quality, 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 put more quality, make them better, make it a better eating experience, make it tastier, make it more reliable, make it more consistent. The industry delivered. To see choice and prime production go from 50% of our supply in the late 90s, mid-90s, early 90s, that's basically what we're producing, 50 to 55%, and today we're up to 80%. Great story, and I think the challenge is now what do we add to that? What are the things that this new consumers want, the millennials, the Gen Xers? They have some different attributes that they want in addition to the quality. I think it's important that the industry listen and hear what that is. Put it in a perspective of what it means to a producer. Because all this money flows back in. All that money from the consumer and what they're willing to pay for our product flows back, and that decides whether our cow-calf producers are going to be profitable.
That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the half hour. We work 24/7 at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Our website is always open, iowaagnet.com. You can also hear our 9 daily reports on 53 radio stations across the state. You can also hear our reports on the website if that meets your schedule or you become an Anahastert groupie. This show is also a podcast. Go to iTunes or Podbean to sign up. If you didn't understand any of that podcast thing, well, just show up here on Saturdays at 6:30 or Sunday at 11:30. We'll be here. For Anna and Dustin, I'm Ken Root. Weekend Ag Matters is a production of the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. You're cold as ice.
Ken Root's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station or a rational person.